Now, that was mission number one.
That was mission number one. Then I flew another mission a month later, about the same thing, nothing different, except instead of meeting us, they just let us fly on down to Tokyo with the jets from Misawa. Then on the third mission, the last mission, as I was coming out of Vladivostok, I saw a MiG below me. I wasn't sure whether he was after me or not, but it was about 5,000 feet above him. And he didn't seem to make any threatening moves, so I moved over top of him and took his picture. And when I got down, the Strategic Air Command photo interpreter came running out there and said, you know what you got there? And I said, well, I hope I got my pictures. He said, you got the pictures, but the MiG. I said, oh, MiG-15 flew under me, and I took his picture. He said that was not a MiG-15. It was a MiG-17. And we didn't know they had those even east of the Ural Mountains here. So what we call a happy extra picture snap became a big intelligence find.
Wow. So those were the first three flown?
Those were the first three missions of a single-engine jet fighter.
Right.
Over this is before the U-2s.
And at no point were you challenged in the air by fighters?
The only ones I ever saw the one I took a picture of.
Yeah. So how successful was all that reconnaissance work as far as you know?
Well, it was very successful because it eased the tensions throughout the world when Eisenhower found out that they were not capable of coming here with a nuclear bomb, one-way mission. It eased tensions. I think the Russians should have given me a medal because it eased tensions on both sides.
Yeah. You talked about taking pictures on top, you know, out the bottom of the airplane.
Vertical. Right?
Vertical.
Yeah.
How would you trip the cameras? What were the controls to make them work?
You got a switch on the stick that you can push to take a picture, but that's not the way you do it when you're flying over an airfield. You have to look at the airfield in front of you, and then you bank 90 degrees right, 90 degrees left. If the airfield is in the middle, then you're going to go over the airfield. And before you get to the airfield, you hit a switch here, and there's a thing called an intervalometer that takes a picture every so many seconds. And so you get a strip of pictures, so you can't miss.
Right. How did they mount all these cameras? They get rid of the guns? How was the whole thing set up?
They got rid of the guns. The guns on our airplanes just were shadows. They just painted them on there so they looked like guns, but they weren't guns. And we had bulges on the side to contain the camera magazine.
And were you able to take pictures going straight ahead or only straight down?
Straight down.
That's the only kind?
That's the only kind in that airplane.
So when you completed, now you got two more DFCs. Did the general come?
No.
After
that, it took paperwork.
When you came home from Korea, right, what year?
I came home in May of 54.
May of 54. So what did you do then, because you had an extensive Vietnam career as well?
Yeah, I came back to reconnaissance at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina, flew the RF-84Fs, and I was an advisor with the Guard in Mississippi for 4 years, and then they sent me to Penn State for an aerospace engineering degree. I came back to that, worked out of Wright-Patterson, developing laser cameras and infrared systems for reconnaissance aircraft, and went back to the cockpit in 68 and flew 150-some missions in Vietnam in an RF-4 Phantom C.
Right.
Reconnaissance.
Going backwards a little bit, how was General LeMay involved in any of this? How much influence did he have?
I can't tell you that. I just don't know what he did. He didn't have any effect on us. It was his photo interpreters that looked at the pictures. That's all I know.
Right. So Vietnam, 1968? Right?
Yeah, 68, 69.
And how many...
Matter of fact, this uniform was made, and it's 47 years old, so it could collapse here at any moment. But one thing about it, you guys, it's I do this every few years, and it's a good thing because I have to get out and exercise and lose weight to get into it. So it's been a helpful thing for me to have this old flying suit.
150 missions in Vietnam.
153 missions, yeah.
Southeast Asia.
Laos and North Vietnam.
How long were you there to fly 150 missions?
I was there 10 months.
That's a lot of flying in 10 months, isn't it?
Well, you're busy.
So where were your missions?
In Vietnam. Well, most of them were over Laos and looking for convoys, the Ho Chi Minh Trail through the Magia Pass into North Vietnam. We're looking for anything that's moving on the ground and bridges and underwater bridges and things like that that they might be constructing. And we also flew at night in the RF-4C, which had 40 cartridges in the rear that you shot the cartridge out and 260 million candle power went off and a big bright light flash and the reflection triggered the camera. But you could only be about 1,500 feet above the ground or you wouldn't see much. So when you're letting down in those mountains of Laos, which are beautiful during the day, you're down there at night, you're depending on that guy in the back seat to keep you over the roads with his radar and not into the mountains. That was a mission that's probably the toughest missions that I've ever flown.
What about ground fire and or
Oh, yeah.
Russian jets.
Yeah, I've seen. No, I never saw Russian jets, but I saw ground fire go over the canopy a number of times.
So, were you ever hit?
No.
No?
No. Never scratched.
So, how surprised are you that you weren't apprehended by aircraft or fired at with rockets?
Well, when I was there in 69, there was a little bit of a moratorium, I guess, on the missiles. They weren't firing those surface-to-air missiles, and Nixon was president, you know, and as a matter of fact, I didn't tell you I briefed Nixon in Korea. That's how the war ended. He asked me how to end the war, and I told him when he was on a visit over there one time, and it ended a month later, so I thought that was pretty good. But then he was vice president under Eisenhower when he made the trip. But he came back, I mean, when I went back to Vietnam and then he became president, that was, well,
right.
What was the question?
68.
What was the question again?
No, well, you were just talking about how you had ended the Korean War,
we're
grateful for.
Well, we were talking about Vietnam, but I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, about rockets and about being apprehended.
Well, yeah, there was a sort of a moratorium during the year that I was there, and I never got shot at by a missile. So I photographed a lot of missile sites, but I usually had an escort of F-4 fighters along with me to suppress anything that we took pictures of.
What was the most memorable mission you flew in Southeast Asia?
Well, I would say a night mission, of course, and going down there, and You can imagine, you guys who are pilots, you're flying at night over Laos along with about, I don't know, many thousand other airplanes that are over there at the same time, fighters and gunships and everything else, and people working them from the command post, airborne command post, telling them where to go. And you'd get over there, and there's no lights. You can't have your lights on. So every once in a while, somebody wouldn't come back to the base, and you know, you wonder what got him. It's probably a mid-air collision, especially if two people didn't come back. But my theory was that if I stayed below everybody else, why, I was going to be safe. So with the radar we had in the RF-4C, you could get down low, as we had to. And that's how I did it at night, to increase my chances of longevity. But We would go fishing if we didn't have a target or we couldn't get to the target because it was being worked by gunships. My navigator had maps drawn up of all the roads in Laos and North Korea. And we would go look on these roads to see if there were any trucks because we had 40 of these cartridges we had to get rid of anyhow. So we go fishing, and one night we went down below these karsts, which are the mountains, the sheer cliffs. My navigator's idea of a joke was, look out the left wing tip, Colonel, and see if you see any sparks. Okay, so that meant we were over the road and not over the mountain. But anyhow, we came back to the field, and we had, in one 9-inch picture, we had 22 trucks, a convoy of 22 trucks, which was a pretty good intelligence find, on a road they didn't know they were using. So
wow.
That was one of my most memorable missions, other than being shot at a few times.